So we're going to be out of Philippians 4 today, reading in verses 6 and 7. I'll give you a second to pull it up if you want. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thanks, Cassidy. Good morning, everybody. Hope you guys are doing really well. Good to see you, and I'm glad you guys could join us this morning. We as a church have kind of always had this philosophy of, when we first started, there was about like 10 of us that were here to start this church, and so we were actually advised by some other churches like at the time, like, hey, you should maybe just start with a Bible study or something like that, and, you know, don't worry about, like, having a church service together. And for us, I think it was very much this heart of, we want to come together and worship the Lord. It almost doesn't matter who else is there. And so anyway, I'm glad that you guys are here. Of course, you know, a lot of people went home for, you know, the break and the weekend and stuff like that, but we just feel like it's worth it to come together and worship the Lord regardless. And so my name is Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O. This semester, we're doing a sermon series called Extraordinary, where we're pressing into all the different ways that a disciple of Jesus should have a really extraordinary life. In the Christian life, I just find that it's very, very easy to settle when it comes to how we live our lives. Very easy to settle into a life that is much less than what God is actually calling us to and has designed us for. John 10:10 says this, "A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance." And this is the anchor verse for this series, but the problem with the trajectory of settling when it comes to our lives with Jesus is that we don't end up with this kind of life. We don't end up with the life and life abundant like that verse says. And so the hope of this series is to remind ourselves of the truth about what it looks like to be a real follower and disciple and apprentice of Jesus so that we may not be people that settle for anything less than the abundant life. And so this week we're talking about another way in which the life of a disciple of Jesus ought to be extraordinary, should be extraordinary, and that is extraordinary peace, okay? The idea of extraordinary peace. A disciple of Jesus should have extraordinary peace. And we're going to talk a lot about what that means and what that looks like, but this is just an area to me that the disciple of Jesus, somebody who's following Christ, should look totally different from the world around us. Totally different. This is an area where we ought to be bright lights to the people around us. Because I'm not sure if you've noticed, but peace is something that is severely lacking in the lives of almost everybody that I meet and talk to. Almost everybody. Matter of fact, I would guess that if I asked you guys, how many of you feel as though you have an extraordinary amount of peace in your life, that number would probably be close to zero. That's just my guess. I mean, we live in what some have called the age of anxiety, where nearly 1 in 3 adults in the U.S. report symptoms of anxiety or depression. For young adults, especially, that's ages 18 to 29, nearly half of them report the very same, right? 45% report that they have symptoms of anxiety or depression. In 2024, an American College Health Association survey found that 77% of college students, that's you, experienced moderate to serious psychological distress in the past year. In APA's Stress in America survey, more than 70% of Gen Z respondents said they often feel hopeless or burned out. Now that's not specific to Christians, that's the general public. But my guess is that for most Christians, this is not much different, just generally not much different than these kinds of statistics. You know, and this is talking, of course, about mental health, and I think peace is much broader than just freedom from anxiety and depression. And we'll talk about a lot of different ways that that applies. But today, we're looking at what it looks like to have extraordinary peace, because it seems to me that there's a real need for that in our lives. There's a real need for it. For whatever reason, the way that our culture has angled itself over the last 20 years has decreased peace. And for a Christian, it's not just that we should have some peace in our lives, but really, I believe that should be something that's totally extraordinary. It should be extraordinary. It should be a bright light to those around us. It should be puzzling. It should be supernatural. People should see the peace that we have in our lives, and they should wonder what's going on there. Most of us lack it, but I pray that it would be something that we see in our lives more and more as we grow in our love for Christ. Now, a couple weeks back, we talked about extraordinary power. Okay, we talked about how for the Christian, we have a kind of power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And what was interesting about that topic is that there's something that we're responsible for and something that we're not, right? We're not responsible for creating power in our lives, okay? That comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the source. But we are responsible for submitting to him, right? We are responsible for allowing him to work in us, allowing ourselves to be Spirit-led people, allowing ourselves to respond to him and not stifle whatever it is that he's doing. And something similar is true, I think, in relationship to peace. In the scripture in Philippians 4 that we're going over today, Paul gives us a command. He gives us something to respond to. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, there's a kind of peace that can only come from God. We can't create that, right? We can't manufacture that. And those who don't know Jesus will never have it. But Paul knows that we can very much kill that peace if we try, which is why he gives us the command in verse 6. This is to say that there are often two kinds of people when it comes to stuff like this. Some of you in this room, really, you'll want me to give you the steps to achieve peace, okay? You want the steps to achieve it. You want the 10 steps to spiritual peace, right? Step one, break your phone in half, right? Step two, go and live in the wilderness, right? So something like that. But those people, you'll be disappointed to find out that extraordinary peace is not something that you can manufacture. That's not something you can manufacture. And then there's the other kind of person that's more passive and wants God to just sort of drop peace on top of them, right? All the while, they take no responsibility for it at all. They don't take commands like this seriously. They don't cast their cares on the Lord. They actively choose to seek full control over their lives, and then they don't tend to trust God with the unknown. And then when they hear me talking about peace, they're wondering, where is this supernatural peace? Where's it at? I don't have it. When is God going to bless me with that? And so with this in mind, right, there's those two kinds of people, those that take full responsibility, you know, and expect to be able to create that on their own, those who take no responsibility and want God to just drop the peace on top of them. And no matter which one of those you are, if you're somewhere in the middle, it's my hope that you'll respond to the things that we're talking about today, or you'll receive this as a challenge and an encouragement, as a challenge and an encouragement. The challenge is this, that you might just have some responsibility in why you don't have extraordinary peace. Okay, you might have a little bit of responsibility in that. And then also as an encouragement, the Lord really wants to bring you peace that goes beyond all understanding if you'll let him. Okay? A challenge and encouragement. And so with this in mind, there are three ways that the disciple of Jesus should have extraordinary peace in their life. We're going to go through three ways. The first one is this. Jesus brings peace in the storm. Jesus brings peace in the storm. John 16:33 says this. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I love passages like this. And I love passages like this because if you are someone who's looking for a strategy on how to have an easy and painless life, you will not find that in Christianity. Okay? You will not find that in Christianity. Christianity reminds us time and time again, in this life, you will have trouble. Okay? You're going to have it. There is no way around it. The storms of life, they're coming. Right? If you have not had them already, you will have them. You will experience loss in this life. You're going to experience tragedy. People around you that you love are going to get sick. you or your future spouse might lose their job. Your house and all your belongings could be lost in a fire. And Jesus' answer to this is not that if you seek him, you will no longer have tragedy or difficulty in this life. That's not what he says. You'll never find that in the Bible. You will never hear Jesus say that. Instead, what he offers is peace in the storm. Peace in the storm. He doesn't say that the storm's not coming, but he promises to be with you in the middle of it. Okay? And one of the most powerful things I've ever seen is someone whose full trust is in the Lord when the storm does come. The person who doesn't pretend like the trouble and tragedy aren't there, but trusts God in the middle of it. And when that happens, I think that we see a kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, like it says here in Philippians. A kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense. So to give you an idea of this kind of peace that really is supernatural. For me, my grandparents on my dad's side were faithful followers of Christ for most of their life. I don't know how long because I wasn't alive when they gave their lives to Christ. But they're faithful followers of Jesus. My grandfather, he was a pastor. My grandmother was maybe the most joy-filled person I've ever met. And they were happily married for about 60 years. They had 10 kids. Yeah. Wow, I cannot imagine that. One of them passed at a young age, which is really sad, leaving 9 of them alive when they passed. But I'll never forget the day of my grandfather's funeral. I wasn't even a believer in Jesus then, but I have this image just burned into my brain of my grandmother at my grandfather's funeral. I mean, you know, I'm a married man now, and the idea of losing my wife is something that, like, haunts me. Okay, like for me, that would be the most painful experience that I can imagine. And I know that for my grandma, who had been with this man serving Jesus together for 60 years, that she was certainly experiencing loss and sadness when he passed away. And yet, I'll never forget just how content she seemed that day. You know, occasionally smiling, showing the joy that she had in the Lord, knowing her husband was with Jesus now. And more significantly, I will never forget how she comforted her own children over the loss of their dad and her husband. Like, it was a surreal experience watching her hug and comfort so many different people that were sobbing and grieving over her own husband that I guarantee she loved more than any of them loved him. I mean, one guy, he was a good friend of my dad's, he came up to the coffin and to her, and he was absolutely hysterical, just losing his mind, crying, weeping, you know, as hard as I've ever seen anybody cry. And she was the one hugging him and comforting him with a smile on her face over the death of her very husband. And I have, I've never seen somebody with that kind of peace on a day like that. It was a great witness to me. I mean, as somebody that didn't know Christ at the time. I saw the kind of power and peace that the Lord brought her. Jesus has the power to bring a kind of peace that surpasses all rational thinking and all understanding in the very middle of storms and the troubles of life. And it's not because Christians are like numb to those experiences. It's not that we just turn off the emotions or something like that. But it's for two reasons. First, the disciple of Jesus trusts God in the middle of those circumstances. They trust like that he's good and that he can and is able to take care of them. Like even if they don't understand everything that's going on, if they're experiencing great loss, they trust him. And the second thing is that the Holy Spirit has the power to bring the believer peace and comfort in the toughest of times. Jesus brings peace in the storm. So that's the first thing. The second one is this. Jesus brings peace in our anxiety and worry. Led with a lot of statistics about anxiety and stress, you know, worriedness and feeling overwhelmed. I hope, you know, by now that you realize peace comes in many forms, right? Having peace in the middle of the storm, in the middle of tragedy and things like that is a little different from having peace from our, like, everyday anxiety and worries. right? Peace in the middle of the trouble and trauma and loss of life is a little bit different than having peace in the middle of your everyday anxiety. But I think that you'll see, despite that, both of these kind of share a common antidote. So let's read from Matthew 11. It says this: "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." All right, so Jesus is speaking here, and he says that all of us who are weary and burdened should come to him. Now, this isn't like, I don't think this is like a physical weariness he's talking about, right? Like, he's not telling people that need a nap to come to him, although I don't think that's out of the question, right? Like, if you really are tired or something like that, you can come to Jesus too. But, you know, he's speaking to the weariness of the soul, feeling burdened and stressed and overwhelmed and anxious. And his invitation is to come to him. Now, here's what I have noticed about stress and anxiety, both in myself and in others. It always seems so complicated, right? When we're experiencing that, that's something that feels really messy, like there's not the perfect answer to it. It's always, you wouldn't understand, you're not in my situation, you know, stuff like that. Or it's the, you know, if I'm feeling anxious and about something and someone is giving me counsel on how to handle that, I feel like their answer is always like overly simplistic. You know, my automatic thought is usually something like, yeah, I see what you're saying, but, you know, da 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 da, like, you know, all these other things related to that. And I know I'm not the only one that's been there, but here's what's so funny about anxiety and worry. The Bible's instruction on how to handle it is not that complicated. It's very, very simple, right? It's not complicated at all. And frankly, if someone told us to do what the Bible teaches about what to do with our anxiety, I think that we'd roll our eyes at them. I think we'd feel a little bit annoyed with them. Now, I'm going to come back to what the Bible teaches about what to do with our anxiety in a moment. But first, I think we need to define what kind of anxiety we're talking about. I feel like it takes a lot of different forms. You know, and sometimes the anxiety or nervousness we feel is not always controllable. For example, like if my son Bo went missing or something like that, I would be extremely anxious and nervous and scared. And I don't think that the Bible's teaching us to like, hey, just don't feel that, right? I don't think that that is a rational or reasonable thing. Now, I do think that even in those crisis situations, we can come to the Lord and try to trust him and fight to trust in him in that way. But despite that, I think there's a different kind of anxiety and that the scriptures teach the most on, and it's that sort of everyday kind, right? The kind that we can feel. And the trouble is that most of us assume that the anxiety we can control is actually the kind that we can't. Okay, we assume that whatever we're feeling is something that's totally out of our control, when a lot of the times there is an amount of responsibility we can take in that. We assume we have no agency or responsibility when we're anxious about the future, or when we're anxious about some friendship or relationship we have, or we're anxious about money or any number of other things. We assume that that just comes upon us and we can do nothing about that. And I think this is the kind of thing that Jesus has a lot to say on. And again, what he says is very, very simple. Come to me. He says, come to me. When you're feeling that, when you're feeling burdened and weary with stress and anxiety, he says, come to me. Here's what else the Bible says. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Philippians 4, this is our passage for today. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Which, look, if I was telling somebody, hey, I'm feeling anxious about this situation, and they just told me, hey, have you tried not being anxious? I'd maybe want to punch them, right? You know, like that's like, that is not what I want to hear. Okay. And yet, in a way, the Bible is teaching us to do exactly that. It says, don't be anxious or worried. Now, there's a second part to that, right? But instead, come to him, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, right? With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Come to him. Cast your anxiety on him. Bring it to him. And what you're doing when you make that choice is you're choosing to trust him in the anxieties and worries of life. You're choosing to say, yes, I'm worried, I'm nervous about this thing, I don't know what's going to happen here in this situation, but I know God is a good father, and he can be trusted. And like I said, we like to overcomplicate our anxiety. We like to overcomplicate it, think that it's really messy and all these different things. We love to read scriptures like this and think, yeah, but what about this or that? You know, there's all these other things that play into my anxiety, but God's response to these things is very simple. It's not that complicated. Come to him. Be with him. Trust in him. He's good. He's good. He's a good father, and he wants to bring you peace and comfort. Jesus brings peace in our anxiety and worry. And lastly, the last thing is this, Jesus brings peace or stillness in our busyness, in our busyness. This is huge because this is not something a lot of people think about, but I know for me, this is so vital and important because the truth is this, our culture worships productivity, worships it. Okay, the idea that your worth is measured by your output. It's why people can be busy and successful and yet deeply restless. Here are some stats on this productivity epidemic. 76% of U.S. workers say they feel pressure to be constantly productive. I'm there. Like, I feel that in my soul. In 2024, the ASA reports that 67% of adults say they feel like they should be doing more almost all the time. I don't know if any of you relate to that, but I sure do. Nearly 60% of Gen Z say they feel guilty when they rest. Guilty when they rest. Gallup's Global Emotions Report in 2024 found that Americans rank among the most stressed populations in the world, despite having high standards of living. I mean, I don't know about you, but not a single one of these things surprises me. Not a single one of these statistics is surprising. I battle with this idol a whole lot. So many of us measure our worth and value by how productive we are, how much we get done. John Mark Comer, he said this in The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, great book, which I highly recommend. Corey Ten Boom once said that if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. There's truth in that. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to other people, and even to your own soul. Jesus wants to bring us peace in and from our busyness. In and from our busyness. Here's some scripture for you. Love this passage. Luke 10. Luke 10, it says this. While they were traveling, he entered a village, this is Jesus, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. We get so busied and productive and worried about so many different things and tasks. And Jesus' response to that is this. You think all these other things are so important, but really one thing is necessary. One thing is necessary. Come to me. It's that same idea. I hope that you see this foundational idea in me, in Christ. You will find peace and rest for your soul. Again, I hope you see the trend here. I picked out just some scriptures today about this idea of peace and anxiety, but there's a lot that I could have used. The antidote and bedrock for our peace in the middle of the storm, in the middle of our anxieties, and in the middle of our busyness is to come to Jesus. It's to be with him, to remain close to him, to trust in him in the middle of whatever it is that we're dealing with. Because in this life, there is so much trouble and anxiety, so much worry, so much difficulty, so much work to be done, right? And the only way for us to find real and lasting and supernatural peace is to be deeply connected to the only one who's actually in control. The only one who's actually in control. The only one who's not only is all-knowing, all-powerful, but who also is our good Father, who desires to give us good gifts and promises to work all things for the good of those who love him. Okay, because when we're connected to Jesus, when we're connected to him, we're reminded of his goodness and that he can be trusted. One thing is necessary. One thing is necessary, to be near him. And so here's the thing. I know that for many Christians, myself included, by the way, I don't feel like my life is a life marked by extraordinary peace. Just being honest. But for many of us, you're in the same boat. We're not actually people that have that, but we should be. We should be. The people around us should see our lives and see us in the middle of whatever we have going on that for the average person would bring immense stress and anxiety, and to see that and also to see just how much peace we have due to our trust in God and say, that is extraordinary. I don't know what's going on with that person, but I want that. The disciple of Jesus should have extraordinary peace that comes from knowing and having a relationship with the God of the universe, where the rest of the world is stressed and anxious about all these different concerns and areas that they have no control over. The Christian is connected to the only one who has any control at all. And not just that, he's our good Father who wants to take care of us. And we have that unique connection for one reason. It's not because of anything we did. It's not because of how great we are. In fact, we shouldn't be at peace with God at all. And Christ changed that. He brought us near to him. This is what Romans 5 says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. This is to say that despite our sin that made us enemies of God, right, we should never be able to be close with God. But despite that, if we place our faith in Jesus, we're at peace with him instead. At peace with the one person who can bring us real and supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding, like it says in Philippians. And so this is my hope for you. If you know him, right? If you already have a relationship with him, if you've been made a friend of God, if you've been brought near to God because of Christ, that you would remember that no matter what you're anxious or stressed about, one thing is necessary, and that he can bring you supernatural peace. You can cast your anxieties and cares on him, and he can bring you peace that surpasses all understanding. And then if you don't know him yet, if you've not placed your faith in Jesus before, that you need, and you realize, like, hey, I need real and lasting peace in my life, I would invite you first to be at peace with God himself by trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins for the very first time. Let's pray. Lord, God, I just thank you first and foremost for how your scripture has ministered to me this weekend. And Lord, I pray that it ministers to our whole church in the same way, God. I just pray that we would be people that have extraordinary peace. Lord, I pray that we'd be people that really do come to you and lay our troubles and our worries and our anxieties at your feet and trust you with them. God, knowing that we can't control everything, but we can come to you, and you are in control, and we can trust that you're good and that you work all things for our good if we love you. And so, Lord, we just pray that over our lives and over our weeks. And we pray all this in your name. Amen.